Let's jump in this first question that we're going to tackle, and we'll be tackling different ones over the next 4 weeks. So first question, why are some people cured and not others? Why doesn't God heal or intervene when we pray and we pray and we pray for healing, but nothing seems to happen? Some people get beet cancer. We have many survivors in this church, and yet we pray for others and they don't beat it. Why? Why? So let's jump in here. We're going to jump into this first subject. And by the way, let me just say another something as we're going through here. By no means do I want to make someone who's suffering from a sickness or a debilitating disease to feel bad at all. You're in a church that will walk with you. Whether you're healed or not, we're going to stand with you and believe with you, okay? I'm just looking around. But we're going to dive, we're going to talk here just in for the several minutes on this subject. What does this question, there's a basic assumption that's just revealed in this question. Did you get it? Why doesn't God intervene when we pray and pray and pray and pray and pray for healing? Well, there's a basic assumption in there, and that is that in Christianity, there's two things that go together. It's not just preaching and telling people stuff. It's also healing. Healing. Why do we think that? Healing. We think it because we see that in Jesus and his followers. Now, I'm just going to just lay a foundation here. I'm going to give you a sample of some verses that speak of Jesus' life. Let's look at it. So Matthew 4:23, Jesus went around throughout all Galilee, teaching in their, there's the teaching, he's talking, that's what churches do, they talk, teach, and he's preaching the gospel. That word gospel means good news, the good news about the kingdom of God. And, read it with me if it's up there, and what? Healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So that's what Jesus did. He preached good news to people. Hey, God loves you. God's not against you. He's for you. But then he also healed people. Wow. Okay, let's look at another scripture. And Jesus, Matthew 9:34. And Jesus went throughout, anytime you see words up there, I want you to read them with me, okay? Here we go. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God, and what? Healing. Now, no one doubts, Pastor, that a church's job is to teach and to preach the good news. By the way, some of us, this is the first time you've ever been in a church that actually shares good news. You've been in ones that share bad news, but I'm telling you, we're here to share good news. Good news. So, yes, there's no doubt. I believe the church has a mission, a job to share good news. But where we struggle is where we get less confident is when we think, is that same church commissioned to pray for the sick, the afflicted, and the oppressed, and to see them healed? Now, wait a second. You just stepped into something else. That's, in fact, some of you are getting already uncomfortable. You're like, oh, no, weird snakes. Are they? What's going to happen? This pastor's talking about healing. Well, we just, right? We look at the scriptures, and we have to be honest about them. This is what Jesus did. Now let's look at his followers. So Jesus begins to bring along some followers, the beginning of the church. That's why we're here today. He passes on this mission of not just teaching and preaching, but also healing to his church. Now let's look at it. Look at Luke 9:1. He says, Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure what? Diseases. And he sent them out to what? What was their job? To preach this good news, to proclaim the kingdom of God, and to what? And to heal. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and what? So you have it there in the notes, those two things. If we take the historical record seriously, let's just take the scripture seriously just for a moment, and of the history of his early disciples that are recorded in Acts, we can read them. If we take that seriously, then we have to say that healing is, or ought to be, that's probably a better word, healing ought to be or is a normal, not an aberration, not like something like freaky spooky, like, oh my gosh, something weird happened, somebody was healed. No, healing ought to be a normal part of Christian ministry. Why? Why is that? I would submit to you because that's who God is. Dr. Francis Nutt, who wrote a book called Healing, says this. I want to quote him. He says, Jesus did not heal people to prove... Is it up there? Why aren't you reading it? You're just like... Let's try it together. Jesus did not heal people to prove he was God. He healed them... It might sound not very important, but the difference is huge. It's just who God is. I'm thankful that I don't have to twist God's arm to be good. That's who he is. God is good. God is kind. God is on the side of healing, of wholeness, of life, of resurrection life. He is not a minister, in other words, of sickness, death, defeat, disease. This is not who God is. Let's just for a moment remember that everything that's bad in the world, if we take the scripture seriously, can be traced back to man's turning away from God. Everything that is possibly good is a gift from God. You remember the beginning. He made this beautiful place and put man and woman and said, here, this is all for you. Now, I wonder in your own personal life if that's true. In your own personal experience, Lord, everything that's good in my life has been from you. And every single thing that's not been good, Lord, has come from a turning from you. God is on the side of strength and of life and of healing. It's who he is. And by the way, just because we turn from him and we reap the consequences of that doesn't mean that he stops being who he is. He's still good. His arms are still reaching out to us. So back to that question, I want you to look at it. Why, Lord, why don't when we pray, Pastor, we don't, I don't say I can ask myself that. Why don't we see God's healing power moving, and why some people cured, some others aren't. To illustrate that, I just have a lamp up here. So this lamp, and let's imagine that I'm turning it on. It has a foot switch. So I'm just going to turn the lamp on. And wait a second. It's not working. Now, when I go to turn the lamp on, by the way, everyone see that? It doesn't have one of these things you turn. Just one of these foot things. You see that? So, when I go to turn it on, the first thing that comes to my mind is I don't doubt the existence of electricity. It never even enters my mind. Listen to me. It never even registers. In fact, I am absolutely firmly convinced in the existence of electricity. So much so, something else has to be wrong. I mean, something else has to be wrong here. Hold on a second. You ever do this? You take it. Oh, gosh, it's not that. Wait a second. Oh, no. Oh, God. Let me go get a bulb from another lamp. You got another bulb from another lamp? What's going on here? I look, check everything. Still go. Turn the light switch on in the house. It's not going on. And it's not plugged into the wall. Which one of our kids unplug this, so I'll plug it in. Light. So, I want us to think about that in the context of the healing power of God. Why don't we see the healing power of God? Is it because God doesn't care? He doesn't exist, see? I prayed. Must not love me. I mean, if he really cared about me, he would just, and we could easily jump to, I prayed and it didn't happen, and so now I begin to doubt the existence, the power and the might, and listen, the actual care and love of God. Not that he just has the ability. He not only has the ability, but he has the want to as well. So there must be something else going on here. Maybe there's some other components. Maybe I have something to play in this thing of healing. So let's dive into it. You have your notes there. So what are some possibilities as we look over the lamp of our lives? Lord, why isn't the power? Why isn't the grace? Why aren't my prayers being affected? Maybe there's something going on there. So let's just begin an inspection. So some possible reasons why we're not seeing healing. Let's dive in here. Number one, could it be that there's a lack of faith? A lack of faith. What do we mean by lack of faith? It means that we doubt the existence, we doubt the reality of a God who's present, active, and powerful. All those words are important. Present, not distant. He's acting. He's moving. He's moving right now. And there's nothing too difficult for him. The reality of him. Now, here's the thing. Can I just confess? This is so easy a thing to fall into. I'm a pastor. And I know this. I get in a routine of praying for people. I'll go to the hospital. Someone's sick. They'll call, and I'll say a prayer for them. And, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. Christians, we pray for each other, right? Not just pastors, but we pray for each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Walk, say, I'll see you later, and walk away. Listen, just going through the motions and never expecting. Now we're moving into the place of faith. Expecting that God is actually listening and moving and wanting to move. Faith. You see, what would happen right now in church if we actually believed that the Son of God and his presence was here? The real presence of God. I mean, actually, let's be serious. Actually believe that. Faith is so critical. Scripture says, without it, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please him. I can have everything, but without faith and trust and confidence in him, it's impossible to please him. Let's look at a couple of examples of this. So faith is the key. If we're talking about a key, if I had keys to unlock a door, faith is that key in the spiritual realm to unlock the resources of the kingdom of God over our lives. So let's look at a couple of examples. Jesus is in his hometown, right where he grew up. And mom, dad, brothers, sisters, everyone's there. They know him. And they don't look at him as someone special sent from God. And let's look at the results here. It says this is in his hometown. Jesus could do no, is it up there? No, okay. Jesus could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few people and healed them. And Jesus, he marveled at what? He marveled. Wow. Their unbelief. And this is Jesus. Think about the very Son of God, his power being limited. It's not coming through in its full force. Why? Because of a great weight of cynicism. Some of you are still sitting there in church. Maybe you've been coming for a church for a while, but you haven't moved from a place of cynicism to confidence and trust in God. Looking around, is this real? Is this real? Yes, God is real. And yes, God loves you. For you, not against you. Could it be true? Yes, it's true. It's true. Just as sure as there's electricity, it is true. So it just... At their unbelief, a father, and this is Matthew 17, we could go on and on and on again, but a father had a sick son. He's desperate. He comes to Jesus and says, my son is sick. Listen to this. I took him to your disciples, to your followers, but they couldn't do anything with him. So Jesus takes the son and prays for him and heals him, and the disciples, after the crowd leaves, takes him aside and says, hey, Jesus... What was going on there? Why couldn't we help the son? Look at Jesus' response. I think it's important. Matthew 17, 20. He said to them, because of your what? Your little faith. We're talking about faith. This is just the first step. Because your little faith. Let's keep going. For truly, I say to you, if you have faith like a superstar Christian. Dun, 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 dun. No. If you could just have a little bit. This is so pleasing to God. We just a spark. Just an ounce of, man, my God can do anything. I believe in. If you have faith as a mustard seed. Now, you have to take this up with Jesus. We're quoting him. This isn't Pastor Charlie. This is some difficult stuff we're going to go through. If you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this what? Now, what does the mountain represent? I'm not talking about, it's talking about an intractable problem situation, something that you can't overcome by yourself and fix. If you can have faith, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Folks, this is difficult. And what did Jesus say? And nothing will be. Come on, turn to somebody right now and say, nothing is impossible with God. Come on, say it right now. Nothing. Some of you are struggling. Nothing. That's all right. Nothing. If you're just like, I'm not saying anything, just look at me and say it. Nothing. Just keep your head straight. Nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible with God. Lord, help us to move from a place of doubting or to a place of belief. So, we're just beginning here. The lack of simple, childlike faith. Remember Jesus. You don't unlock the resources of the kingdom of God by becoming an adult. No, he said you have to change and become like a child. What's a child? I just have simple trust in my dad. He's going to take care of things. Right? You remember that? I remember Charlie would say, we're going to Grandma and Grandpa's house, and he got to the point where he's like, Dad, you just went the wrong way. You're supposed to turn here. I'm like, son, just stop. I know where I'm going. And we go, right? So that's why we can sing, Lord, you are good, you are good. And that's why I can declare, you're never going to let me down. Why? Because I'm just like a child. It's all right, but man, you're never going to let me down. It's all said and done, Lord. You don't let people down. You can't. It goes against your nature. That's who you are. And even when it seems like the end, it's a new beginning in you. You're good. You're good. So my faith, confidence in the Lord, that simple childlike faith can prevent the power of God from moving in our lives. But let me give you a quick disclaimer there in your notes. Even having said that, we can't put God in a box, and I'm just being honest with you. He is so good. Sometimes it doesn't matter if the person has faith or not. He just jumps in and heals them. Helps them recover, helps them get over, and he just moves. That's just because who he is. Faith is an important part. What could be something else? Let's go to the scriptures again. James 5 and 14. Let's just start reading. It says, if you are sick, do what? Stay at home. Don't let anybody know. No, if you're sick, do what? Call church leaders. Have them pray for you in the name of the Lord. And the prayer that is said with doubt, the prayer that is said with what? It's the prayer, again, we see faith again connected with healing. The prayer of faith will make the sick person what? Well, the Lord will heal that person. If the person has sinned, the sins will be forgiven. Now look at verse 16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so God, that's an important verse, let's read it again. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so God can heal you. When a believing person prays, that's a person of faith. When a believing person prays, what? Great things happen. So we see a connection here between faith and healing, but in this verse we also see a connection between undealt with sin and healing. So again, we're inspecting the lamp. We're going over the bowl. What's going on here? What's going on here? Could it be that there's sin or especially unforgiveness that's blocking the flow of the grace and the power of God moving in our lives? Resentment, bitterness, in the slightest amount, just an itty bit of amount, can dampen the flow of God's power. By the way, let me just say, the first and deepest, most important miracle of healing that Jesus came to bring was the forgiveness of sins. What do you mean by that? Peace with God. Every time you see him moving, even when a person had a physical problem and they came to him, Jesus was concerned with their spirit and their soul. Why? Because I just want to stop right here and make sure we say this. Our physical bodies are temporary. And so Jesus always put great weight on our spirits, on our souls. In fact, one time he says in Matthew 10:28, don't be afraid, this is Jesus, don't be afraid of people who can kill the body but can't do anything with the soul. The only one you should fear, and really what that word means, awe and respect and give reverence to, the one you should fear is the one who has not only power of the body, but power of the what? Soul. So let me just stop right here and say, what would happen, or just imagine with me, if we put as much attention as we did on our physical bodies, on our spirit man, as we do on our physical bodies? Let me ask you just a question, because church is a great place to do it. How's your soul? Oh, I thought you were talking about my physical body. I am. And every study out there in science today claims that there is a connection between my physical well-being and what's going on in the, they won't say this, in the unseen world. They'll say something like our emotional well-being. The unseen part of who we are. So here's the thought in your note suggestion. Maybe an illness is a symptom of a deeper sickness. Could it be? A deeper sickness in our emotional and our spiritual lives. Unforgiveness affects our bodies and our emotions. Every study out there says that, unforgiveness. Jesus, for microscopes and all this stuff and studies, said this, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, what's the next word? There's that faith. We're never going to get away from just simple faith. Believe that you have received it, and it will what? Be yours. And I don't stop there. Keep going. And when you're praying, so I'm trying to connect to the grace and the help of God, right? That's what prayer is. When you're praying, look what Jesus says. If you hold anything against what? Anyone, forgive them. So that, why? So that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Pastor, where are you going with this? Effective prayer, prayers that work, go hand in hand with forgiveness. If you've been praying for something, or we're talking about healing. If you're praying for healing and nothing happens, then maybe just stop for a second. Check the situation out. Lord, is there any kind of resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness anywhere in my heart or soul? What do you do with that, Pastor? You confess it. Remember what James says? Confess your sins. Confess it. One to another. So why? So that God can heal you, and that grace and that power from him can begin to flow in our lives again. I just feel like I could stop right here. Maybe several of us, under the sound of my voice, said when we started this service, I said, help is on the way. You're receiving help right now. God's giving you clarity of a something that's been blocking the flow. And you need to take that next step and say, God, forgive me. Me being critical, forgive me this, or whatever it is, forgive me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Folks, how many of these do we have? 7. Can you believe that? And they're already playing the music. There's no way we're getting through all these, okay? So just, some of you just sweating there. I'm just like, oh God, God, I'm gonna miss kickoff. Okay, just relax. Well, we're gonna cut it short. I gotta remember to keep these lists to like 2 or 3, right? You do 7. There's so much here. Honestly, there's just so much here. You just listen to me. We'll close with this one. A third reason may be that God has a higher purpose that he's working. Something more going on, I don't understand. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah in 55 says this, the Lord says, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. Your ways, what? Not like my ways. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my what? And my thoughts are not your thoughts. Could it be that God is got something redemptive, something he's doing? Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes that's not it, but sometimes yes. Look at Psalm 119, just as an example. 67. The psalmist says, before I was afflicted, but now I do what? What happened in this guy's life that caused him to get back into the right path? Not a trick question. You still have the scripture? Put the scripture back up there. You're like, it was too fast. We're in Psalm 119. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, so what happened in this guy's life that caused him to get back on the right path? Come on, guys. Seriously? Think. Look, affliction, a difficulty, a something he couldn't get around, this is something I just can't manage. Before that happened, I was doing my thing. It's over here and over here and over there. I was just talking to a guy recently, and I said, well, how'd you start coming to church and tell me about all that? And he began to tell me a story. He said, man, I was just making money. I got to be honest. I was just going for it. One goal, making money. And I told myself I was doing this for my kids. But my kids were the ones suffering because I was just going, making money. And his marriage and his world started. Come on. Problems. But I'm doing my thing. And so then this affliction, this trouble, this difficulty, this situation pops up. And it's an opportunity from God saying, sir, man, there's a better way. I want to put you on a different path. That path has got all kind of issues in it, but this is a path of life. I remember going to the, let's read that passage, Psalm 119, 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I keep your word. Now listen, you just have to deal with his witness. Think of this as an actual person. This psalmist says, he eventually reached the point where he looked back on his life. He said, man, it was good. That what? It was what? Now maybe you have that. I know in my life I can look back sometimes and say, man, it was good that happened because it put me back on the path. Come on. Maybe there's something going on in your life right now. It's God with the megaphone saying, son, there's a better way. Daughter, there's a better way. I'm trying to draw you. I remember going to I got a call. Someone was in the hospital. A brother was in the hospital. I remember praying as I was going, and the Lord just put it in my heart, not just to pray for him and do the healing thing and religious thing, but the Lord put it in my heart to tell him, God is knocking on the door of your heart. He wants you to change your life. You're going this way, and God wants you to come home to him. him and to return to his house. This sickness isn't just about a sickness. God is calling you home to him. Could it be a higher purpose? God is working in all kind of ways. I remember just recently, some of you guys know that my dad is struggling with dementia, and we watched that close. Anyway, they had a call. He was at the hospital. I run to the hospital, and I'm thinking to myself, Lord, I want him in the hospital. What's going on here? You know the thought you have. Here we go again. I walk in the hospital. He's laying on a bed. He's fine. He's laughing and having a good time, if some of you know my dad. And there's a nurse there who hadn't been in church in a long time, been walking far away from God. And Dad was talking to her and invited her to church. And she says, I'm coming. And I walk in the middle of that, and it dawned on my head. God was working. There was someone who needed to hear the good news that God's not against them. He's for them. And that God hasn't forgotten them. Now let's just take a step back here and say, God, sometimes you work in ways. Whew. I don't understand it. I can't see you. You're doing something. And I trust you. I trust you. Let's skip all the way down to the very bottom. Even when we're thinking about healing, how long do I keep praying? You keep praying as long as you have breath in your lungs. Lord, I pray to you. I'm going to keep calling out to you. And by the way, I'm closing with this. For those who are in Christ, for those who are Christians, my healing, now hold on, my healing is guaranteed. You didn't get it. It's a promise from God. I'm either going to be healed now or I'm going to be healed later in Christ and through him. Let's bow our heads across the sanctuary. What's the Lord saying to you? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you, speaking to you? Lord, you're my healer. Lord, would you stop this service right now? Lord, if there's a young man, a young woman, Lord, or maybe someone been coming to your house for a long time, but they know in their heart they're far from you. They've grown cold towards you. Lord, I thank you that you're a God who speaks good news. Hey, listen, you're not as bad as you think. God doesn't think bad thoughts towards you. He thinks good thoughts. In fact, he's for you. He'll forgive you. Though your sins are so heavy and weighting, you feel the shame of them, you can come to Christ. And there's forgiveness, free forgiveness in him. Lord, I thank you that there's not just forgiveness of sins and peace with God. Oh, that is wonderful. Lord, but to think that you even care for my physical state as well, that you'll stretch your hand out over me, Lord, through your church, Lord, today, and you speak healing over my life, Lord. Help us to believe. Help us to believe. It's in Jesus' name. Come on. It's in Jesus' name. Name above every name that we pray. Everybody said. Come on. Everybody said, amen.